techniques of reconstruction from projection, and then stack them up, and you get the three-dimensional reconstruction of the heart. And after that, different sections are obtained in nuclear medicine imaging specific to the heart. So this is a section through the left ventricle, where because of the orientation of the heart, it is an oblique section. So this is called the short axis image, where it is a section through or across the left ventricle. This is a cross section of the ventricle and for different levels. And these sections you see in the middle are called the horizontal long axis images, which you get like that. And then you have what are called the vertical long axis images. So from the 3D data set, different sectional images are created specific to each application. And this is specific to imaging the myocardium of the left ventricle, that is, the wall of the left ventricle, to study if there are any infarcts or parts of the ventricular wall not getting blood supply properly. So these are not, in a way, they give you the anatomy, but the purpose here is not to study the anatomy, but rather to study the function or the lack of function. If a particular artery supplying blood to a particular heart is blocked, then that particular part of the heart will not get the blood supply, and hence will not get the radiopharmaceutical with the radioactive material, and hence will not emit gamma ray photons, hence will appear to be a dark or a black area. So these images look like donuts. They're supposed to look like little holes. But if I put some particular part of the ventricle is not getting the blood supply, then nothing will be black. So there'll be a hole there. Not a hole, but it will be a hole. In another modality of imaging, which is also emission imaging, known as positron emission tomography, the isotopes used are carbon-11, nitrogen-13, oxygen-15, and fluorine-18. So instead of gamma-ray photons, these emit positrons, and they are suitable for nuclear medicine imaging in a different way. PET, as it is called, positron emission tomography, is based upon the simultaneous detection of two annihilation photons produced at pi 11 kilo electron volts. There are two photons emitted in opposite directions while these isotopes go through the process of decay. And the two photons are detected using detectors on either side, using what is called coincidence detection. So when two detectors on opposite ends detect events at the same time, then that is a coincidence detection. And by using the geometry of the scanner, you can compute the position as to where that process occurred. So in one mode of data collection, a ring of Bessner Gemini detectors is used to gather emission statistics that correspond to one section, transversal section. I'll not go into the details here, but typical spatial resolution is about 5 millimeters, and it is also used for functional imaging and physiological analysis. I'll skip the next two sections because we will not be using any of these images in the examples later, and I will not be able to do all of chapters 1 through 6 in the time we have. So there will be some parts that I'll skip, but you could read the details of the job. So I'll skip ultrasound and MR imaging and move to the last section of the first chapter as to the objectives of biomedical imaging analysis. I described a few modalities of imaging to obtain not only medical images, but also images of biological samples that would be extracted from human beings or animals or other living creatures. Once you obtain an image in environmental image analysis, the representation of images in digital format or in electronic images facilitates certain types of information processing and analysis. And there are computer processing analysis of data. Once in electronic format, you could do this. You could do computer-aided diagnosis or CAD. CAD has been used for various to represent various systems, computer-aided design, computer-aided drafting, and so on. But in the context of medical image analysis, it is computer-aided diagnosis. And in some cases, it's also used to indicate computer-aided detection. And there's a distinction made there. Detection is simply to say, here is something. Diagnosis is to say, this is a tumor, or this is cancer, and so on. But there is a distinction as to whether it is diagnosis or detection. And then you can also do image-guided surgery. The information you extract could be provided to the surgeon to assist in the process of surgery or image-guided therapy, to make therapeutic decisions, to guide and design a process of treatment using information derived from images obtained, using the modalities I've explained so far, all other modalities, and applying image processing techniques to these images. Now this image is a little difficult to follow, perhaps here, but you can refer to the book later on. You have a human being who is being probed. You put in some probing signal, x-rays or ultrasound or whatever, and then you get some data out, and using transducers and an imaging system, you obtain an image. The data could be in the analog form to begin with, and then you have an analog to digital conversion system to convert that into digital data that could be put into what is called PACS, picture, archival, communication system. Picture, archival, and communication system. So all of this could be called the image data acquisition stream. Up to here, we have only acquired the data. After acquisition, you need to process the data. So we need to filter the data and remove noise and enhance the image. That is what we will see in chapters 3 and 4. Before that, in chapter 2, we will study representation of information and various characteristics of images. Then, you do detection of regions of interest or segmentation. These two steps, or these steps, there are many of them here, these steps of filtering, enhancement, and detection and segmentation could be called image processing. Processing image or image processing, I would use that phrase in the context where the input is an image, the output is an image. The image is somehow modified, but the result is still an image. It has not been interpreted or analyzed yet. It's only being processed. After that, we have image analysis, where the segmented part is analyzed and characterized to represent, for example, the shape, the texture, and any other information that is present in the image. And the output of these steps of analysis would not be another image, could be an image, but need not be an image, could be features or measurements. That represents analysis. So first you acquire an image, and we have discussed so far, image acquisition. Then you process the image, and the output could be another image, which may look better or not, depending upon what you do to it. You may detect some regions, but you are not putting any labels on them yet. After that, you have analysis of the objects or regions that you have extracted. So if you do shape analysis and say, this is convex, this is concave, this is smooth, this is rough. And then you could also classify pattern recognition, classification, and diagnostic decision. That is also analysis of either the image data directly or the features you extracted in the image analysis step. And then using pattern recognition, classification, and decision techniques, we will say, this is a tumor, this is cancer, that is not. Or this is the brain, this is the heart, this is something else. That kind of labeling comes after analysis and classification. And at that level, what you're doing is image analysis. And if you're giving some diagnostic information, it is diagnostic decision making. If you're putting a label and saying this is cancer, then that is diagnostic decision making. So that information is given to the physician. In computer-aided diagnosis, the information obtained from computing is provided not to the patient, but to the physician. And the physician includes this information in his or her analysis based on the image, based on the interview with the patient, based on other clinical information and history, and then gives that information to the patient or uses that in computer-aided diagnosis and therapy. If it is computer-aided diagnosis, the diagnosis is given to the patient. If it is computer-aided therapy, the therapeutic procedure that the physician is considering will be designed or modified using the information obtained via image analysis. And that, of course, goes back to the patient. And the same with computer-aided surgery or image-guided surgery. So this loop, the image comes from the patient, image acquisition, processing, analysis, diagnostic decision making, and return to the patient in the form of improved diagnosis or therapy or surgery or treatment is expected to give the patient better result than without the image, than the direct path between the patient and the physician. And that is the hope, that with the inclusion of image, medical imaging, and computer-aided image analysis, that this therapy that is worked out would be better than without the use of these techniques. It is 3:15. Let's take a little break. There are a few more things here before we finish chapter one. It'll take me 10 or 15 minutes. I don't want to rush it now. Let's take a break and please come back at 3:30.